Hello, hello. Welcome to Squabbles of the Soil, Season 4, a podcast produced in collaboration with MTSU Collegiate FFA Chapter and directed by students of the MTSU Debate and Discussions in Agriculture class. The opinions stated on this podcast are not affiliated with MTSU. The dirt of the day here consists of controversial agricultural topics. Let's come down to earth.
Hello, my name is Xander Kaywood. I am an animal science major, ag education minor at Middle Tennessee State University. Today's topic is about the development of urban agriculture. Urban agriculture is defined as the development and implementation of farming in urban and suburban environments, usually restricted to the cultivation of crops. Our first guest today is Jason Sowell from Lewis Group Architects and the University of Buffalo. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what experience you have regarding this topic?
Okay, so my name is Jason Sowell. I'm a licensed architect and an associate professor at the University of Buffalo. I have a master in landscape architecture from Harvard Graduate School of Design, which is the sort of area in which I've been teaching over the past 17 years. So I've taught at both University of Texas at Austin and Texas Tech universities. The latter is one in which the Department of Landscape Architecture was housed within the College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources. My background in this topic, I would say, is more broad than it is specific, but I have worked on speculative projects that have addressed some form of agricultural production in urban contexts. And one of the areas that the Department of Landscape Architecture at Texas Tech was sort of concerned about was this intersection of what is in essence a fairly extensive cotton farming region with both urbanization at one level, water resources management at another, and then climate change and its impact on farming communities. So I have some, let's say, knowledge of urban agriculture sort of generally, if not for certain instances, very specific kind of topics and their impact on cities.
Thank you. How would you, in your own words, define urban agriculture as a general topic?
So I would say that urban agriculture is any type of either food, fiber, or grazing production within, let's say, a metro region. And that could extend from everything in terms of vertical farming in industrial areas, rooftop gardens, any type of allotment gardening, which could be a part of park systems, to let's say farming, which happens sort of peripherally at the edge of cities, in support of that region's food production. So in many instances, the definition for urban agriculture has nuance. But it's generally that there's some type of productive activity in what we might consider an urban context.
Okay. Now I'm just going to ask if for this podcast, are you are here to talk in favor of this topic, or are you here to talk about the concerns of development?
I would say generally I am in favor of urban agriculture. But again, I think it depends on what its sort of end goal is. I mean, it's as with anything, there's no necessarily it's bad or good. It's more how is it being used? What are the intended outcomes? And what are the practices linked to the agricultural production that potentially impact either people or ecosystems? And so that's, I think, where the evaluation comes into it. And, you know, in that instance, and we can get more into this, you know, there's a question as to, with all land use, there can be at some moments, let's say, competing interests in terms of what it is ultimately sort of used for. And I think that's where, you know, the urban ag in many instances runs into, let's say, the conflicts around the topic.
Yeah, so you'd listed like limited land in urban areas, like allocating land use. And then you said health for people, was that correct? Meaning like herbicide, pesticide, chemical use?
Well, I think that's part of it, but, you know, having lived in a city that was surrounded by an incredibly extensive industrial agricultural landscape, you know, there are impacts from, let's say, dust. There are impacts from odors from, you know, even positive types of programs, which would be, you know, reclamation of biosolids as a part of fertilizers. You know, definitely, you know, chemical and pesticides, fertilizers, and their impact on either human health, water supply, habitat more broadly. I mean, all of these are, you know, areas that any type of agricultural production runs into.
Yeah. Did you touch on any legislation? Because I know that, like, I'm not fluent in it, but you would know more legislation, like zoning and policies, being an architect. Mm-hmm. Would that, in city-wise, would that pose a problem? Would they have to change legislation for urban agriculture?
Yes. I mean, it's dependent upon how the municipality sets up its zoning regulations, whether they're what we would consider prescriptive or performance-based, or what some might consider form-based codes, which is looking, you know, which is attempting to move away from kind of the designated, you know, only industrial here, you know, only school, you know, business here, only housing here, and more towards what's a viable mix that leads to, you know, better experiences in the city, better buildings, you know, better economic activity. And, you know, I think ultimately what urban agriculture runs into within a city is a couple of things. One, the value of the land tends to be quite high. And so therefore, giving it over to what is a traditionally a more horizontal land use activity means that, you know, the land is not being what some economists would consider its most maximum use, right? Which could be like mixed use development and that kind of thing. You know, the other, I think, is that in cities over time, the availability of soils, you know, that would be promising for agricultural use have simply just been, you know, mixed altogether through just building the city itself. And so you don't have soils that they've been compacted. Some of them probably don't have the biological activity that's necessary for agricultural production. You know, definitely if you're talking about animal husbandry and grazing, you know, that runs into, you know, concerns between some citizens and, you know, what they expect as a part of city life. So there are these kind of competing interests. And I think that's where, you know, let's say a more production industrial kind of quality of urban agriculture runs into a set of issues. Now, within cities, can people have gardens either within backyards or on rooftops, or as a part of allotment gardens, you know, which you see in a lot of European cities where, you know, if people don't have a backyard or they're living in, you know, townhouses or apartment buildings, then they've got spaces typically set aside in public landscapes and public parks, you know, where they can rent a space and have their own sort of garden. You know, those I think tend to deal with, you know, much smaller scale kind of gardening activities, which are also can be a part of subsistence farming. So that has, I think, a number of promising, I think, integration of agricultural production within an urban context. You know, the last thing I would say is that certainly as climate change has become, you know, a more pressing issue, as let's say farmland is redeveloped for other kinds of uses and there's loss of farmland more generally, then the solutions that look at, you know, whether it's hydroponics or some other, you know, sort of more engineered system, and then the kind of recovery of outmoded industrial sites or industrial buildings, you know, is where, at least within architecture, there's a desire to think about vertical farming as a part of food production within the city and a way to reclaim farming activity as a part of a city's economy. You know, I think it's at this point, whether it's economically viable is still sort of up for debate. You know, I think the other, let's say, issue that's sort of come up in terms of agricultural production in the city, and this was something that I don't know has been promoted in many areas, but, you know, Buffalo is a part of the Rust Belt, which is in many instances kind of the heart of American manufacturing, and, you know, from the Midwest to the toward the East Coast. And there's a number of communities that as industrial activity was shifted to other parts of the country or even to other countries, you know, as free trade became global in scope, a lot of these cities had depopulation, and they now have, let's say, more land than the city can manage, right? They just don't have the citizenry there as a part of an economic base. So some have proposed as a part of, let's say, a shrinking city framework or strategy to utilize these vacant lots as a part of reintroducing urban agriculture as a new industry in these, let's say, economically depressed areas. And this is, you know, everything from, you know, all kinds of food production to forestry and, you know, forest products to even just having, you know, extensive kind of grazing areas or animal husbandry. You know, there's a number of speculative projects that architects and even some landscape architects have done for Detroit, for example, you know, which is sort of the poster child of the Rust Belt city for clearing vacant homes and, you know, reclaiming that those lots for urban agriculture. But it, you know, that also runs into a question, you know, how do you operate the big machinery within it, you know, or is it something which happens on a much smaller scale? So, you know, those are a set of issues that are still being, I think, you know, they're still trying to resolve, you know, how it would actually work and whether it would be economically viable. Mm-hmm.
All right, so our last question is, regardless of your opinion on the topic, do you see development of agriculture in urban areas to be a more abundant practice in the future? You kind of already touched on that a little bit, but
I think it is one, because I think people are increasingly more concerned about where their food comes from. I think there's also a concern for food security. Certainly for a number of communities within cities, like, for example, you know, here in Buffalo, over the past 15 to 20 years, Buffalo has seen positive population growth as a result of refugees, being relocated or resettled in the city and the region, based on Amnesty and other, State Department initiatives. And a number of these communities, a lot of them from Africa or Asia, bring with them a cultural heritage of subsistence farming, which is pretty critical for, how the multi-generational families, tend to engage one another. It offers some additional income, and from a diet perspective, in their health is pretty critical. So a number of these communities operate, let's say, farms in and around the city, as a part of urban agriculture, in the region. And interestingly enough, for a number of them, they're growing foods that are specific to their former homelands that then they ship to other refugee resettlement areas who may not have, let's say, access to the farmland that happens here. So I think there's a whole number of proponents for integrating agricultural production in the future city, whether it's through vertical farming, greening of architecture, trying to create more sustainable development, or even just, communities getting together to have, their own, let's say, sort of community gardens, that will continue to expand how urban agriculture is incorporated into just the everyday.
Well, thank you so much for being on this interview for the podcast.
Sure.
Our second guest is Nia Smith from Civic Design Center. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what experience you have regarding this topic?
Thank you for having me. My name is Nia Smith. I'm the Community Design Coordinator at the Civic Design Center. And my role there really looks at communities as points of connection and ways to connect people to their communities. My focus generally is in biking and community gardens because when I was still in college about 2021, I decided to go wolfing. That's the Worldwide Organization of Organic Farmers in France. I ended up staying on a goat farm and then this guy's permaculture land and learned a lot about working with the land from them. Since coming back to Nashville, one of the things that I was struggling for when I moved out here was community and looking for a growing space. And so I started getting involved with the food project and growing down in Millridge at Magruder, and I'm now on the board of Brooklyn Heights Community Garden. So I have been doing this for a couple of years now. I'm pretty fresh in the urban agricultural space itself, but land use and urban development and community connectors are something I've had experience in for a very long time.
In your own words, how would you define urban agriculture?
So I think urban agriculture really looks at how to bring foodscapes and food systems to an urban environment. So if you're looking at the urban, rural, suburban typology, I would probably put suburban in with urban just for purposes of this conversation. But if you're looking at urban and rural typologies of a city, of a neighborhood, of a town, urban agriculture really refers to using all of those spaces within a more densified area to create a food shed or a foodscape. For me, this could look like beehives on tiny little lots outside, fruit trees throughout parks that people frequent. Community gardens definitely fall into this. So vertical balcony trellises, guerrilla gardening, all of those things are urban agriculture and build up the sort of image of what urban agriculture can be.
All right. So you've kind of already hit it on this with like how you defined it, but are you here to talk in favor or to talk about the concerns of urban agriculture?
I'm here to talk in favor of it. I know that there are some concerns of individual elements of urban agriculture, but it's difficult for me to understand a true counter argument to urban agriculture. A lot of the times those counter arguments really just cut off people's access to food resources and are more focused on the land as a bottom line or as a dollar amount, as opposed to how do we best steward the land and the earth, and also, you know, make sure that all of our needs are met through that work.
All right. What are some of the aspects of agriculture that you believe would best benefit urban environments?
Yeah. I think there have been a number of studies that show that being outside and interacting with nature is very good for your health. It can lower your blood pressure. I know for myself, it definitely helps set my mind right. It's also a great community builder. Having places where people can gather and do a couple of little tasks together. Many hands make light work. So it just really helps sort of create a glue for people to know that they can trust one another and feel comfortable with one another. We have this report on our website called Seeding Spaces. It's an urban agricultural report. And on page 16, it talks about food sheds and how if Davidson County were able to grow about a third of its food locally, we could create potentially 4,000 jobs just in farming, producing, and distribution, which could potentially eliminate unemployment in Davidson County altogether, not to mention the effects of if a third of our food is produced locally, how that almost eradicates hunger, right? Local food insecurity, because it's all locally processed and can be distributed. I think urban agriculture really is often overlooked in the local food scene because you're often working with much smaller plots of land. You're often working with maybe brownfields and infields. You're often working with just not as much space and the ability to garden or farm as you would on much larger, more rural properties. But I think urban agriculture and thinking about it as a necessity within cities, just as every city is prioritizing green spaces and parks, that importance of having a space that is not only green, but also addresses community needs is imperative.
All right. One of the other topics that I see as one of the beneficial sides of urban agriculture includes education for urban citizens. Since there is such a break between a lot of city populations knowing exactly how food is made and processed, mm-hmm. Do you think that this would be a good way to educate those people on how food is grown and processed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think community gardens are one of the best sort of learning environments I personally have ever been in. I feel like I've learned a lot about myself, about how plants work. And I mean, just on a basic, like, science level, what is a seed, how does it fruit, what is a plant, but also I've learned a lot about other people and how to communicate with other people and how to, what recipes they like and how to cook certain dishes that I might not be familiar with. I think education is kind of built into urban agriculture because you're in such densified areas, you have to interact with the people that are around you also growing in these spaces.
And there are two major, I haven't labeled as harmful. It's not really harmful. Two barriers that have to be hurdled over for urban agriculture. One being limited resources, meaning electricity and water. That's not as much of a problem in Nashville, but some of the bigger cities where they have to allocate electricity and water usage, do you think that could be a problem if development of urban agriculture was implemented?
I think it is a necessary problem to have. Like, I think if we're going to develop our cities further without allocating energy and water resources for urban agriculture, then we're just not thinking about urban agriculture at all. And that is a worse problem. I'm sure developers and as we're trying to move away from maybe non-renewable resources, it might be a bit of a struggle. And I'm not really sure without some examples what that could, really what that difficulty could look like. But I personally do not think that that would be a reason to not have urban agriculture. For me, that means that a city needs to figure out how their resources can best be applied. And I guess community gardens can really figure out, do we need to be on the same grid as the rest of the city? Can we raise money for a generator? Or we have to have access to water. That's just, that's non-negotiable. How do we get that, right? Yeah, I think it needs to be, it's a problem that needs to be built into the question to begin with.
All right. And then I am no expert on this topic, and you might know more about it. Legislation, as in like zoning and policies for agriculture, would city policies and zoning areas have to be changed to allocate for development?
So let's see. From what I understand, there are a couple of housing developers who will include community gardens as part of their projects because it's something that people are really interested in having. On the other hand, some governments have what's called back tax lots, where the government might buy back a certain amount of land from people if it's in a floodplain or a sewage system, or just some amount of land that isn't necessarily sellable. And that's where other urban agricultural elements, like I discussed earlier, could be used. So a small, tiny little plot of land can house hundreds of thousands of bees, right?
Yes.
A small little plot of land can house at least one fruit tree. So before even getting to zoning and legislation, there are little things that a government can work with the city to get implemented. Again, there's guerrilla gardening. So that's when people just go in and start a farm somewhere. That's not always the most secure, but that doesn't require zoning or legislation to do. That just requires you and some friends being willing to go outside and steward some land. In terms of legislation and zoning, I think it would be great, especially in Nashville or maybe in surrounding cities throughout Tennessee, because Tennessee is so rich with farmland, to really emphasize the importance of keeping that land, or at least incorporating it throughout the city. It would be a grave mistake for us to obliterate all of our just extremely fertile farmland for more development and more housing. We have city centers, we have metropolitan cores, And we can work with those spaces to develop more rural areas, or rural adjacent areas, let's say. I think some of the legislation could look like tax benefits for people who start a little community garden in their backyard, a little vegetable kitchen garden in their backyard. Maybe for developers, if they donate a portion of their project to support the tools or a packaging space. Cities need to invest more in maybe more communal growing and packing sheds, but also like, have you heard of Citizens Kitchen?
I have not.
Citizens Kitchen is sort of like a shared commercial kitchen space that a bunch of food trucks and restaurants can operate out of. Imagine if you've got this, if you've brought a third of your local food system to your county and you've got a place for people to grab tools before they go out to the community garden, a place for them to grab and wash all of the stuff they've harvested and maybe package it, and then a place for people who work in kitchens or work in restaurants and maybe want to start their own restaurant or start their own little business, a little kitchen for them to work in that uses the food that is built and created in this environment. It's a system that continues to sustain itself and pulls in people at every point.
And our last question is going to be, regardless of your opinion on the topic, do you see the development of agriculture in urban areas to be more abundantly practiced in the future of development in general?
I think so. And that could just be because I'm optimistic, but I'm looking around at the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people want to turn to homesteading. I know that a lot of people want to be self-sufficient. I know that a lot of people want to learn these skills and understand our food does not just come from a truck, right? And I think in order for that to happen, we need to have more serious conversations about the development of urban agriculture. How do you use your lawn instead of just being some Bermuda grass to house some fruits, some herbs, some greens, some squash, some root vegetables, some flowers, some, how do you create a pollinator garden or repair a lot of Tennessee's watershed by making sure that the water that goes back to the Cumberland is actually clean after it's run through your yard? I think urban agriculture is something that gives us agency in our own cities because it connects us back to the plants and the environment that we've kind of tucked under asphalt. And then it gives us like there's nothing better than eating a tomato that you grew. There just isn't. Nothing gets better than that. And so to be able to give everybody that peace to have a tomato, to have a whatever, like there's so many things that you can grow and be connected to, it just makes sense, and it's really the only option we've got.
All right, well, since that was our last question, that concludes our interview. I just want to thank you again for coming on and joining us for this episode of the podcast.
Thank you.
To wrap up, we'd like to thank you, the listener, for taking time to listen to this episode of Squabbles of the Soil. Now, we hope that you are able to form your own opinions on development of urban agriculture.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Squabbles of the Soil. We hope you've enjoyed digging deep into the pressing issues facing our agricultural world. Keep listening and find out who you are rooting for.